Amen and amen and amen. Can you shut those two doors, Taylor, please? Yes, all by myself I painted, all through the night. My son Taylor was keeping an eye on me, says I can't see quite like I used to. And our friend Levi, who's with us this morning, he risked coming out to the big city of Belt to check it out. He helped us paint. I'm surprised Levi is even talking to me. I try to be nice when I paint. But he came and helped us change some things out there, but we also changed this little room. This is now a prayer room, and I'll be speaking to you this morning from... Can you hear me still, anybody? This says... Every ministry at our fellowship begins with and depends on genuine prayer. And inside are several little chairs, some bottled water, some fake flowers. We need to, as I was just going, I thought I was just going to do that. Now I just felt, I got to get that room changed. And after I got it changed, I thought, no, we got to move this, that, and everything. You ever had the Lord speaking to you, but you weren't even sure what he was doing? Really? I mean, you wasn't even sure, just kind of, and it was not like I was being real spiritual about it, I was just kind of plugging along. It was all done, painted, he says, okay, move out. I said, to where? The nursery, he said. So I've been hanging out in the nursery, good place for me. But the prayer room is for genuine prayer, not prayer where you mark time and get credit for, you know, he said, I got to be there. I got to. We had some of these all-night prayers in my history. Prayed for about a half an hour, and the rest of the time I just tried to stay awake. I'm not sure the angels in heaven marked that down, okay? 5 minutes of genuine prayer where we touch the Lord eclipses all of the just marking time prayer. Amen? It's the truth. Where's my little deal? No, that's the wrong deal. Do you have my deal, Joyce? Do you have my deal? Oh, here's my deal. Oh, I left this deal here yesterday. And these cell phones are wonderful as long as they what? How many of you know they're not wonderful if they're not powered? Not what much you can do with them. So I told Taylor, I said, am I doing that? That's because of this, Taylor thinks. Okay. Everybody loves when I told you so. I said, I need a new charger. He came upstairs with something, and I plugged it in, and it was one of those chargers that just didn't quite make it. And you could, if you held it in, it would work. So I looked at it, it says charging 46%. I thought, oh, for heaven's sake. And then it goes dark. My Walmart phone goes dark. So I checked it again, charging 44%. I said, how can that be? Charging 41%. I said, that does it. These things need a good connection, evidently. So I had to go outside and get the connector that works in my car. What was it, 90 below zero last night? And plug this into my car and go back and forth and keep checking it. Charging 52%, charging 65%. But I'm out there running in and out, you know, and whatever attire I had on. What difference? Oh, what do you know? Oh. Don't you love to eat with people, or talk with people, and they're like this? What difference does it make if we don't make a genuine connection with the source of power in our lives. What difference does it make? You ever felt like you were the one running down? You come to church, you pray, you tithe, you give, you even paint occasionally. And yet, we find ourselves running down. We need to make genuine connection, one that works with the source of our power. And we believers believe the source of our power is whom? The Lord. Not all at once now. We really believe that the source of our power is the Lord. But without connection, we can be running down, 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 and down. We sing, Holy Spirit. What was the first line to that? Holy Spirit, you are what? You're welcome here. I knew that. This morning, I like to put down, all I do is share. I don't teach, I don't preach, I just share. That's who I am. That's who I am, as a sharer. Acts 2:4 is where I will hope to get eventually. But I want to say, being a Pentecostal since I was 7 years old, being a charismatic, being a this and that and the other thing, walking the halls of Oral Roberts University, walking down to this event, that place, to felt the Lord speaking, tugging at my heart to speak about the Holy Spirit this entire month. And again, I didn't know what I was doing. I'm happy to get through one sermon and phew, get something to eat. And eventually, occasionally, I catch on to what God's doing. And he says to me, what I said on the board there, no ministry anywhere in Christian churches should begin without prayer and should sustain itself without prayer. Comma, amen. And one of the benefits of the Holy Spirit, of course, is to empower what we do, whatever it is, what we do. And so I say, okay, that's the deal. You want us to speak on the Holy Spirit so that he becomes more and more welcome in our presence. And you want us to be empowered by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and you want us to have a prayer language. Whew. I don't want a prayer language, and that's it. You don't have to have one. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, a person. What we need to do, I keep looking over there like he's going to come out the door. Not yet. What we need to do is relate to the Holy Spirit and not race to him, through him, and from him. We need to relate to the person of the Holy Spirit. When we don't relate to the Holy Spirit, when we treat him as a historical figure or as something in the book or as some kind of genie in a lamp, and we treat him as that, we rub this way, rub that way, because we want something, we need something, and we think he's the one to get it to us, and we relate to him only for what he can give us. The Holy Spirit, in my experience, slowly begins to step away from us. Don't you want to have a real relationship with anybody? Not all at once. Don't you want to have a real relationship with anybody in this life before you go your way. Yes, we do. We do. Don't we, Clarissa? Thank you. I saw that hand. That was good. We want to have relationships with friends, with family, with big shots. We need to understand, to relate. I need to refresh my own heart and spirit, to relate to the Holy Spirit as a person, and to relate very, very genuinely, very carefully. God wants you to believe that there really is a Holy Spirit. Woohoo! Oh, I know, I've heard about it forever. God wants you and me to really, really, really believe that there is a Holy Spirit. And secondly, God wants you to receive the Holy Spirit. And if we can do that in a kind of a slow motion process rather than this Americanized way of blasting from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, good, good, or let's get on with this. Isn't that next week's baptism, Holy Spirit? Okay, well, let's get on with this. The tongues of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is far secondary to the touch of the Holy Spirit. Touching you and I so deeply that we cannot comprehend it. The touch of God is so primary. The tongues of God is a way we can pray and not know in our head what we're praying about and release ourselves. But without the touch of God, it's just glossolalia, it's called. Noise. Well, can't we hurry this touch up? I've got meetings. I got places to go, people to see. I hope I can remember where I'm at in the story. You try to remember. I was thinking, again, how God helps us along with miracles and signs. How he wants to help you believe there is, that he exists, so he gives you a little miracle. He gives us a little sign. I was thinking about Jesus being born when the shepherds were told, go, bless you. When the shepherds were told, was that Wally? Okay, I knew that. Shepherds, go and look for this baby. He will be wrapped up in a manger. Mangers and shepherds, that work together. So the shepherds walk in the barn, and they're looking for a... And the Holy Spirit's saying, warmer, 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 warmer. Not the kings. Not the kings from the east. They're stars. Amen. They couldn't have found the manger if they had to, but they knew about stars. And so they're on their little camels or whatever they're riding. And as they're looking up at the star, the Holy Spirit's saying, thank you, Gary. That was good. You get it. Holy Spirit said, warmer, warmer. And so they go, no, no, colder, colder, warmer, warmer. He helps us find himself through miracles. When Mary arrived at Elizabeth's house, John the Baptist wanted to give a little miracle of his own, and he did what? A triple sow cow. That was God making miracles happen. And both women. Wait, what just happened? Remember from last week? The Holy Spirit tries so hard. God tries so hard for us to see that he loves us. He gives you miracles And he asks you to respond. Acts 2:4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Can I ask you this morning, if we're looking at a human being, how can we tell that they're filled with anything? How can we tell? The writer says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you know? They what? They, yeah, that okay, thank you. They did speak with tongues. Something happens when a container is full and overflows. Amen? Do I have to prove this morning? Something happens when a container gets full, 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 and then it can't take no more, and then all of a sudden it overflows. Tongues, yes. Eventually, at first, when, there, whatever. But the whole character of Christ begins to overflow. When God has come inside of you, all of a sudden, 2 Corinthians 5:17, you become a new creature. Something happens inside. When you receive it, His Holy Spirit comes and overflows. The movement of the Holy Spirit, this person, to the unsaved is to enter them. Really? Know we not. We are the temple, the house, the home of the Holy Spirit. So for the unsaved, people who don't know Christ, have never been born again, Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door, and if anybody waves out the window," no, you can't wave out the window. You can. It's called religion. You have to open the door. And the personhood of the Holy Spirit enters that person. I don't believe that for a minute. It's true. 5 years old, you've heard this. You've heard all of my stories. I just keep repeating them until you can tell them better than I can. Miles City, Montana, my turn to pray for the lunch, and I'm praying for the lunch as fast as I can because I want to eat. And when I'm finished with the lunch, as a 5-year-old child, I sensed and I could not have caused what took place in my body. And I had no idea what it was. But I wanted to do it again. you can't be born again. I won't get into that later, but I couldn't experience that. I thought, what on earth? I remember being a 5-year-old child thinking that. For some reason. And that's not how everybody is born again. My dad, my dad was a yes, no, maybe, okay, let's go. That was good. My mother, look out. My mother should be here in a couple weeks. Woo-hoo. You're going to come, Harry, for your deal. She says, as long as it's not cold. I said, it's never cold here. What are you talking about? She lived in Great Falls 12 years. She understands how God works in one person and how he works in another person. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to put God in a box. Don't even try to understand. The Bible says his ways are what? Higher than our ways. We think we're so smart. We write books. We go to conferences. We can't understand the movement of the Shekinah Holy Spirit. Really, we can't. Thank God for the scripture that gives us a hint as to what he is up to. And then we lived below West. I went to church below West Junior High, little Church of God. And they spoke one night. They said, the Pentecostal Church of God. They said, we're going to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're 7 years old? Okay. We went up to the altar, across the altar. I was 7 years old, and I remember seeing my dad there, and kids were praying along the altar, and I prayed for a while, waiting for what? Tongues, yeah, tongues. That was your spot, tongues, yeah. Okay. I had heard how the Holy Spirit fell, and people began to speak in tongues as the Lord gave them utterance, and I was ready for that. My sister was 2 years old, and I would be switched, Joyce, if I would let her get it first. Really?